Welcome, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Rebound. I'm your host, Eli Cooper, along with my co-host, James Jordan. How you doing today, James?
Doing all right, man. Just got out of work, ready to go over these topics. How about yourself?
Same, man. Doing good. Pretty exciting week of action in the NBA. College basketball comes back tomorrow night. So we got a lot to talk about and get into for you guys today. So let's get right into it. All right, so the first thing we want to get into today is a game that we talked about in our last episode. One of our game predictions was the Jazz versus the Clippers last week. They actually played twice. Our prediction was for the first game, which both of us picked the Clippers in, and the Jazz ended up winning. But what we didn't know is that Kawhi Leonard would be resting in the fourth game of the season. So do you have a problem with Kawhi and, you know, even other players resting this early in the year?
No. I mean, the only reason why I say that is just because they probably see their upcoming schedule. They probably figure, like, why not just give myself a break for the upcoming schedule against some games that we should win that would actually matter when it comes to playoff time. I don't see a problem with it. I mean, it's early in the season. They're probably trying to figure out certain things that they can do without Kawhi. It's also a thing to take into consideration. So I'm not worried at all. What about yourself?
I don't love it. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little annoyed by it. I think it's too early in the season. Like, as far as throughout the entire season, I have no issue with it. Like, you know what I mean? I don't think it's a problem. But, like, four games in, like, you shouldn't even be tired four games into the season. Like, I get it. You know, you had a long season last year and winning a championship. And don't get me wrong, but you had a full off season to rest and relax. And, you know, I don't know. For me, as a competitor, that is too early in the year. Fourth game of the year is too early. For me personally, I'm not going to knock him too much about it. You know, I don't think it's a big deal, but it rubs me the wrong way, to be honest. That's how I'll describe it. But yeah, so, and I'm a little annoyed because he cost me a correct pick. I'm just being honest.
That's what it really is.
I would have gotten it right because they played again on Sunday. For the record, full disclosure, we're recording this on a Monday night. At 9:30 p.m. So just so everybody knows who's listening in, but yeah, they go in and they win on Sunday by double digits, which clearly shows that me and you both would have been right if this guy would have, you know, not been resting. But it is what it is. You know, he's certainly
earned it. We could definitely count the second game. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to that.
No, I'm not gonna cheat the system. I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna take my L, but I'm not gonna be happy about it. That's all I'm gonna say. All right, so now we got to get on to the Houston Rockets. And Houston, we have a problem. So if we just go back through their last few games throughout this week, they got into a shootout with the Wizards, ended up pulling that one out 159-158, one of the highest scoring games I've ever seen. And with how bad the Wizards are, giving up 148 points is a pretty bad sign, you know, for your team defensively. Then Friday, they lose to the Nets on the road, give up 123 points in that game. Again, issues defensively. And then they got blown out Sunday night against the Miami Heat. And to me, those are three teams that you would think, or if you look at on paper, the Rockets are better than. And they lose two out of three and barely squeak out a win against the Wizards team who lit them up. It was honestly, it took a heroic 59-point effort from Harden for them to win that game, and they gave up 46 to Beal on the other end. So are you concerned with the Houston Rockets? They fall into 3-3 after giving up 120 plus points in each of their last three games this week.
I mean, this is what I'm going to say. I'm not going to spend too much on the topic. I'm honestly displeased with it just because we thought that we would see a different element of basketball with the Rockets. They claim that the system that they're using is going to work. Okay, so I believe this is our third year into the system with D'Antoni. Mm-hmm. And it's just not It's just not a way to play basketball, especially in the NBA. Yeah. You can't tell me that, oh, we're going to shoot 40-some three-pointers a game, and we're going to at least make half. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me that's going to work on every night. Yeah. And then pretty much they're just stressing volume with the shooting and then just thinking they're just going to beat good teams. They're going to make the playoffs, but I'm just concerned with the good teams such as the Clippers, the Lakers. Like, will you beat those teams doing that? And I really do not think so. I mean, if you're giving up 158 to the Wizards, Bradley Beal at 46. Like, why are you giving Bradley Beal 46? I don't think that he's a player that would, as a number one option, should give you 46 on a daily basis. I mean, I think he's a gifted scorer, but still, you can limit him to certain things.
Yeah.
And then you go ahead and lose to the Nets, and then Kyrie wasn't even a top scorer.
Yeah.
And then the Heat, I kind of understand because I honestly feel like they're a sleeper team that I missed out on.
Mm-hmm.
The way that they're playing. So I understand that loss, but the Wizards and the Nets, really, you shouldn't lose to those teams.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're figuring stuff out with Russell. No, just play defense, put Russell, play a fast tempo offense, and then just try to get some open looks with Harden. Like, he's just too ball dominant right now. And this, honestly, I remember watching a game, and Harden will go down, dribble, 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 shoot a three.
Yeah.
Miss. They'll get the board, give it back to Harden, miss. Next thing you know, Russell gets the ball. Dribble, 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 shoots three. You're not even a three-point. Why are you shooting a three right now?
Yeah.
Like, and that's the tough stuff that just makes me mad. I just don't understand why aren't they trying something different. Just why?
Yeah, for me, for someone who is a big fan of ball movement, people movement, it's always been hard for me to watch D'Antoni run teams, and especially this Houston Rockets team. And now that they have Russ, their shooting percentages are just awful. As a team, they're shooting 31% from the three, which is well below average, especially for a team that's taking as many as they are, and only shooting 44% from the field. Nobody's shooting over 50% for them besides, like, Clint Capella, who only dunks the ball, PJ Tucker, who's only taking 8 shots a game. Like, they don't really even have any, you know, efficient scores on, like, James Harden's averaging 35 points a game on 37% shooting from the field and 22% from the three. That'll probably get better, sure, I would assume, but there's no guarantee. Like, that's the kind of brand of basketball that they play, is, like, they're not really worried about shot selection, they're not worried about getting the best shot, you know, they want to get threes and they want to get layups. And I think they're too reliant on those things, and they're really not even, if you look at their roster, like, they don't even have a really great three-point shooting team. But I think the biggest issue with this team, as inefficient as their offense is the defensive end. Like, 158 points to the Wizards is mind-blowing to me. Like, granted, Bradley Beal went off, like you said, gifted scorer. 46 to Brad Beal is a bit much, but he can get hot and have a night like that, sure. But, like, 112 points to everybody else on that roster? Like, who on that team can you even name besides Bradley Beal and the top 10 pick Rui Hachimura? Like, you know what I mean? Like, John Wall's out. I think they have Isaiah Thomas, maybe. I haven't even looked at their roster, but, like, you know what I mean? That's how bad that team is that I can't name a third player on that roster and off the top of my head. And you gave up 158 points to them. And then, like you said, the Nets, they go into Brooklyn and give up 123 points. And Kyrie Irving was pedestrian at best. And like you said, wasn't the top scorer. Caris LeVert gave them 25. Tareen Prince, solid, excellent two-way player, but 27 to him? Come on, you know what I mean? Like, these are major flaws that they have, and you're right, the Heat are a sleeper team. They've been playing good basketball, but 129 points, like, they're consistently giving up 120 plus points, and it's a major concern. They fall in the 3-3 after back to back losses. They're obviously still a playoff team to me, but I do have major concerns. Like, to answer your question, like, can they beat the upper echelon teams like the Lakers and Clippers? Absolutely not. Like, I think both of those teams get them out of there in like 5, maybe 6 games if James Harden's hot. Is that fair?
Yeah,
that's, I would
especially
say,
if he's hot, because you know he's going to get hot. It's only a matter of when with him, but it's not sustainable. You're just pretty much, you're just playing a running gun mentality. Oh, you're not going to put up 140 points, but I know we have a good shot of doing it. But if the other team could put up those points, they're not going to play any defense, so that's one thing you don't have to worry about. They're just worried about just jacking up the shots, hoping that they make at least 40% of the threes that they take, and then just hopefully they just get away with the dub. I mean, they just play up-tempo, and they just shoot a lot of shots. I mean, it's not hard to defend against.
Yeah.
And the Warriors kind of proved that.
Agreed. So, enough about the Rockets. We got to talk about the main event that happened last week. Embiid versus Cat. Both of them got into a little scuffle when they played in what was a blowout game. Really, the only thing to even talk about from that game was this fight. If you even want to call it that. So both of them obviously getting 2-game suspension. Embiid's serving the second game of that tonight as we're doing this. The Sixers are playing the Suns. So Kat is as well. So we'll see them back on the floor immediately. We'll talk about 2 different topics. One, what did you think about the fight? And 2, was a 2-game suspension fair? And we'll start what, as far as the actual fight itself, what are your thoughts on it?
I mean, as far as the fight, I mean, you should be past that at this point. Someone's getting under your skin that much that you attempt to put somebody in the headlock. Like, come on, you playing pro basketball. I honestly thought they should have got more days, to be honest.
Okay.
And then 2, it's just, I just don't know. I just feel like Cat just has too much to prove right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, he's honestly soft. Like, I just remember the picture where DeMarcus Cousins just looks like...
Yeah,
you know exactly what I'm bringing up.
I know what you're talking about. He's just like, what is this guy? He's trying to back me down? That's disrespectful.
Exactly. So, in my head, I feel like Cat is soft. Like, he's a good player, skilled. But it wasn't really worth all that to just...
Yeah.
Joel's Embiid, he's going to be Embiid. He's going to talk. You got to know that. You got to be a professional. You can't let that stuff get into your head. The same way you don't let the fans get into your head. Players are the same way.
Yeah.
So I just felt like it was just a bunch of nonsense.
Agreed. It absolutely was a bunch of nonsense. You know, Embiid, especially when he plays against other centers, is when he jaws the most. You know, like other
especially
elite centers.
They have some game.
Yeah, like when he plays against other elite centers, like Drummond. He'll go at it, obviously, clearly, he'll go at it with Towns, you know what I mean? Like, he'll talk trash to other elite players because that kind of gets him going, and all Cat did was feed into that. Like, after the scuffle, he comes out to the bench and he's talking trash to Mike Scott on the, like, you know what I mean? Mike Scott's on the bench hyping him up about it, like, you know, and he's laughing as he gets injected and stuff like he loves that kind of stuff, you know what I mean? So, like, and honestly, all Cat did was give Embiid 2 games of rest that he probably would have taken anyway. So, you know what I mean? It clearly hurts the Timberwolves more than it hurts the Sixers because they have the depth to kind of deal with Embiid when he's not in there. And as far as the fight itself, I think Charles Barkley described it best when he called it a snuggle party. Like, no punches were really thrown. I think Cat was trying to and then kind of pulled up, you know what I mean, before he actually, like, connected. But, like, neither of them were really, like, throwing punches. It was, like, a wrestling match. You know what I mean? Like, again, pointless. Like, what's the point in doing all that? Like, if you're going to go at it, like, throw the hands. You know what I mean? Get the, you know what I mean? And I know that gives you a bigger suspension, but, like, you know, now you're losing 2 games for nothing. I thought 2 games was fair because there weren't any punches thrown, and at the end of the day, it wasn't, like, a brawl or anything. Like, it was a pretty soft fight. So I thought 2 games was fine, but and I thought Ben Simmons not being suspended or fined was fine because I do believe that I do believe he was playing peacemaker. Him and Karl-Anthony Towns are friends, and I think he was just trying to restrain him. he went about it the wrong way, but I don't think there was any intent to.
At the bottom of the pile, he had this man in a headlock too.
Yeah, he was trying to get him to calm down though. Like, you know how, like, when
in
someone
in the middle of a chokehold.
But listen, when someone's bigger than you, like, you have to use more of your body weight to restrain them. You know what I mean? So like, how else is he gonna like get him to relax? You know, well, not relax, but like, sleep.
Exactly. He was trying to put him to sleep. I understand that your man's and all, but yeah, Ben Simmons should have got some time.
No. I mean, honestly, it wasn't, I don't think it was that big of a deal, but it was certainly entertaining. And honestly, the only entertaining thing about that game, because the Sixers were blowing the Timberwolves out the entire time, so. Speaking of the Sixers, now pending tonight's game, they're currently in the second quarter with the Suns. They are the last unbeaten team in the league. And you had them winning the East. I had them finishing second in the East. So we both had pretty high expectations for this team. But what are your thoughts on the Sixers as a whole so far?
I mean, pretty much right now. They didn't really play anyone yet, hence they're playing the Suns tonight, mm-hmm. which is pretty good right now. They're playing pretty well. Mm-hmm. Besides the Blazers, not really seeing much, so I can't wait for them to at least play the Clippers, the Lakers, or at least the Bucks, someone like that that has length, size, you know, and then it will actually test them a little better. But, I mean, like, just like I predicted, the 76ers really have a good team. They have depth. For example, Embiid is out, and then they're still winning games. And then it's just not one guy with them. It's just a whole roster of guys just getting it done on the floor. So that's what's really impressing me right now. It's just, if you look at the box score of most of these squads, it's literally two or three players getting it done. With the 76ers, you at least see six or seven guys with at least 10 points. So that's what I like to see. You know, and I just think they're overachieving right now. Especially, I mean, I didn't even predict that they would at least be undefeated right now. I know it's still early, but I can't wait for them to actually see some competition so I could see what A game they bring, you know?
Yeah, I think they've, as a fan, I am excited about the start that they've gotten off to. I think defensively, they've been extremely impressive. As far as like defensive efficiency, I think they're like sixth in the league right now, which is what I expected them to be, an elite defensive team. Ben Simmons and Matisse Thybulle both are the top two in the league in steals. So they clearly force turnovers. And I think that's what that was the team they were trying to build, was an elite defensive team that didn't necessarily need to play in the half court the entire game because they could force turnovers and get out in transition. And it has worked well for them so far. Five guys, entire starting five is averaging double digits. So, you know, all the hype about them being one of the best starting fives in the league so far that has lived up to it. The chemistry, I think, has been there early on. And I think it's because they have, like, very unselfish players like Ben Simmons, Al Horford. You know, those guys are extremely cerebral, unselfish players, great passers. Josh Richardson knows his role and excels in it. But he's not like limited to just like 3-point shooting and defense. He can also put the ball on the floor. Like, they have more multi-dimensional players, I think, this year than what they did last year. I'd like to see more bench production. Like, I'd like to see someone off of the bench producing at double digits. Mike Scott's the closest at 8 points per game. I think that could be the one knock, is like they have good role players off the bench, but no like go-to scorer. Korkmaz did hit a big shot for them against the Blazers, game winning three from the corner. And he's a lights out shooter for them off the bench, but he's not necessarily a scorer, I would say. So that could be the one snag that they hit, but they have been clicking on all cylinders early on. And they're kind of going, like I said earlier in one of our previous episodes, they're like going contrarian to where the league is moving. Like, they're going with a big physical defensive lineup, whereas everybody's trying to go like small ball spacing, 3-point shooting. They're like, well, if everybody's going that way, we're going to go this way and see how it works. And so far, it has worked well for them. So we'll see how that continues throughout the year. But the Sixers are certainly looking like a threat in the East so far. So we'll move on to our next topic real quick and just go through our game prediction results. Actually, a pretty rough week for both of us. We both got all three games wrong so far. Jazz beat the Clippers. Thanks, Kawhi. The Nets beat the Rockets. Thanks, Harden and Russ. And then the Celtics beat the Bucks, which was pretty surprising. And the Celtics have actually looked pretty good recently after they lost to the Sixers. Kemba Walker has been stepping it up. He had back-to-back 30-point games for the Celtics. And they're looking pretty good, better than, you know, what we expected and what we saw from a lot of those guys in the World Cup. So, you know, props to the Celtics, and we'll see how that, you know, continues to develop for them going forward.
The only thing that I don't like with the Celtics is that they're putting big minutes on Tatum, Kemba, Hayward, mm-hmm. and Smart. You can't put all those players and give them 40 minutes a game. That's a lot to ask from your core. 40 minutes a night. I mean, right now, I feel like they should be getting more out of their bench. At least 10 to 15 minutes, at least. Like, when I look at their bench, they're only getting 8 minutes at best between the core on the bench. Yeah, I don't think it's sustainable. I mean, I changed them in my final standings in the East, but as far as getting it done at the end of the season, I feel like they're going to get worn out. And that's just the main concern with me. What do you think?
I agree. I think I thought they would have more bench production, so I agree with you there. I think it's good to see them gelling a little bit and them getting Kemba Walker going. That's a positive sign for them because they absolutely need that. I think they're a solid team. Like, I didn't think they were bad or anything like that. They're exceeding my expectations a little bit. And the Bucks win was actually a pretty impressive one. I got to give them props there. But, well, you know, it's definitely a team that we're going to have to continue to monitor throughout the year because I think they're going to be inconsistent. I think we're going to see those weeks where, you know, they look fantastic, right, and they look really good, and then I think we're going to see those weeks where they look really bad, which is why I think they'll, like, be middle of the pack in the East this year. I think that's just kind of the roster build that they have. So the next thing we got to get into is tomorrow night, the NCAA Division I basketball returns, and the State Farm Classic comes back and has the top four teams in the country kicking it off already to start the year. Kansas is playing against Duke. Those are the number three and number four teams in the league. They play at 7:00 in Madison Square Garden, neutral floor. Kansas is 11-point, it looks like Kansas is the favorites in that one. And then there's Michigan State, Kentucky, top two teams in the country squaring off. Right after them, also in Madison Square Garden at 9:30, they got the later game as the primetime game. And we talked a lot about Michigan State in our NCAA season preview. Also talked a lot about Kentucky. So that looks like it's going to be a great game. Let's start with Kansas and Duke, though. What are you expecting out of this game? Who are you excited to see? And who are you picking to win?
I'm picking to win. Honestly, I'm going to just go with Kansas on this one. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's too early. I mean, I just want to see what I'm going to get out of this game. I'm just expecting a hard-fought game, defensive battle. And then hopefully I get this one right and Kansas will get it done. What do you think about this game?
I am going to go with Kansas as well. I think in an early season matchup between these two teams, Kansas will have more experienced players. Duke has, again, relying on the one-and-done kind of player, so they have a lot of freshmen coming in. They do return Trey Jones, Alex O'Connell, and Javon Deloria, but Trey Jones is the only one in that group that's going to play, like, major minutes. So he'll be the clear leader, but he's still only a sophomore. So, like, you know what I mean? They're still going to be a very young basketball team, and Kansas has some good freshmen as well, but they're going to have more experience. And I think on opening night, that's going to be crucial. Maybe if this game is played later down the year when Duke has more time to gel, maybe we're looking at a different result. But I am going to pick Kansas as well to take this one. Now for Michigan State and Kentucky, this Michigan State team led by Cassius Winston, arguably one of the best players in the country, going against freshman phenom Tyrese Maxey in the 9:30 game. Who you liking in this one?
You know, I got to go with the hype. I'm going with Michigan State. Who you picking?
I'm going to go with Michigan State as well. I think they're the most complete team. Again, the experience is what's going to show in this game. Cassius Winston is going to step up and be a leader on the floor. I'm also excited to see Rocket Watts, who played with LaMelo Ball in high school last year, a kid who could flat out fill it up. I'm excited to see him and see if he gets his first action as a freshman with Michigan State, how they implement him into their offense as well. Kentucky has a lot of young talent. Tyrese Maxey is, like I mentioned, is one of the higher talented freshmen that they got in this recruiting class. So I'm interested to see how he adapts and how he, you know, comes out in his first primetime game with Kentucky, because that kid can flat out play. So we'll see. You know, that I think those are the two things that I'm interested to watch. But again, I'm going to go with the experience in an early on matchup between these two teams and take the Spartans.
Okay.
All right. So that is all that we had for you guys today. We appreciate you guys tuning in to another episode of The Rebound. We're going to be catching back up with you guys later on in the week to review the Michigan State and Kentucky game and Duke and Kansas, talk about our thoughts, and also go through the different NBA action and key games this week that we went over. Again, if you guys like our show, make sure you subscribe. We are now on Apple Podcasts. We tweeted about it during last week. So all of our previous episodes are up and available on Apple Podcasts. So make sure you go tune in there as well. We're still on Spotify, Google Podcasts, all those different outlets. And make sure you guys go follow us on Twitter at The Rebound Pod. You can follow me individually at EL1_Coop. And James, you want to give them your Twitter handle?
Life_Gavin3.
And that's where you can follow James. Make sure you guys engage with us on Twitter. You know, let us know what you guys want to hear on the podcast. That way you can tailor it, you know, kind of towards your, viewership and what you guys want to hear. And also, it's an opportunity for you to get your questions answered on the podcast. Feel free to give us a shout on Twitter, and thank you guys again for tuning in. Signing off, James, you got anything else?
All I want to say is my fantasy basketball team is definitely better than Eli's. I just want to shout that out.
Listen, I'm 2-0 already. I don't know what James is talking about.
Listen, we in the same division. You can catch all this smoke.
Listen.
Catch all this smoke.
So James is going to have to see me twice a year. Best believe when I get both of those wins, we'll be talking about it right here on this podcast. So stay tuned.
All right, say no more.
All right, guys. So again, thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Rebound. I'm Elijah Cooper, my co-host James Jordan, signing off. Y'all be cool. How y'all be cool, all right?